Take your Bibles and turn with me to the book of Revelation, the 7th chapter. Have a little lull in the storm, you might say, as we take a look at this chapter. We're going to begin reading with the first verse of chapter 7. And read all the way to the end of the chapter. So please just listen very carefully. Follow along if you're able to, but we're going to read God's precious word here. Revelation chapter 7. And after these things, I saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, nor on the sea, nor on any tree. And I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God. And he cried with a loud voice to the four angels, to whom it was given to hurt the earth and the sea, saying, "Hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads." I heard a number of them which were sealed, and there were sealed 144,000 of all the tribes of the children of Israel. Of the tribe of Judah were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Reuben were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Gad were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Asher were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Naphtali were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Manasseh were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Simeon were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Levi were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Issachar were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Zebulun were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Joseph were sealed 12,000. And of the tribe of Benjamin were sealed 12,000. After this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and peoples and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands, and cried with a loud voice, saying, "Salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb." And all the angels stood round about the throne and about the elders, and four beasts fell before the throne on their faces and worshiped God, saying, "Amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. Amen." And one of the elders answered, saying unto me, "What are these which are arrayed in white robes, and whence came they?" And he said unto him, "Sir, thou knowest." And he said to me, "These are they which came out of great tribulation, and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore are they before the throne of God, and serve him day and night in his temple. And he that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more, neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat. For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them, and shall lead them unto living fountains of water, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes." Beautiful scripture verse. Father, please, that you would just guide and lead us through this precious time. I just ask that you'll touch every heart, and we're to come to you and ask for your strength and for your direction for our spiritual lives, for our physical lives. And we just ask, Father, that you help us to be a witness and proclaim to those that are lost around us your precious word, and that it would allow the Spirit, your Spirit, to penetrate into that heart and to bring them to salvation. Because when we open up this 8th chapter and we find that seventh seal. What a horrible, horrible day and time it will be. So please, dear Father, just show us your way and will through this seventh chapter today, but awaken our lives and our hearts to what we need to be doing. Speak to all of us now, and I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. As we progress through this day, the day of grace, and it's referred to as the gospel of grace. You'll find that in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 in those four verses. And then John refers also to this wonderful gospel as the everlasting gospel. We have that in Revelation 14. Paul takes it so personal that he even calls it my gospel in Romans chapter 2, verse 16. And then we come to the book of Revelation, and we are back to the time when Jesus was walking upon the earth, back to the time when John the Baptist first began to proclaim the precious gospel, because it was the gospel of the kingdom. And so now we are back to the gospel of the kingdom. So we have enjoyed the gospel of grace. We are enjoying that. It is an everlasting gospel. And again, as Paul referenced it, he said, that's my gospel. And we need to understand that and fellowship with that as well. But now that the kingdom is coming, we are back to preaching the gospel of the kingdom. As I referenced a little bit earlier there at the beginning of the message, we have looked at the first seal, the second seal, the third seal, the fourth seal, the fifth seal, and the sixth seal. And as we looked at the progression of what was going on and to the point that we found the souls that were underneath the altar, and then as the sixth seal opened up, why we found the great earthquake and all the events and the things that were taking place there. And all of a sudden now, and we really don't know the time schedule of these events through these 7 years. Because it seems like some kind of moves back and forth. And so don't be real concerned about the time period. But whatever is going on, and as these six seals have been opened up and they've been torn open, God all of a sudden now, before he opens the seventh seal, he brings everything to a halt. And he brings in 144,000 preachers to preach the gospel. That's what we're looking at here. And as you look at the four angels in the first verse of chapter 7, I saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth. Don't think that the earth is flat, it's round. God just brings it and holds it. It just, I'm sure that there are some folks that look at that and think, now I told you that it's flat, and if we go too far, we're going to fall off of it. But we see that he refers to these. Daniel also makes a reference in chapter 7, verse 2, and says, the four winds of heaven strove upon the great sea. Well, the reference that was making was these empires, as they were evil empires, being raised up. And so that was a reference we have in Daniel, and also in here in Revelation chapter 7, there are great enemies of God coming together. But before that takes place, God stops them. See, sometimes when we see all the things that's going on in this world, we think, you know, God is not in control. He is. Man has a free will. But there is a point in time when God's going to put his foot down. He's going to say, that's it. And when that time comes, and even with the wickedness and the progression of God's wrath, and remember what we read in the last seal, it is the wrath of the Lamb. And he has full power, he has full authority, and he has every right to bring the wrath down upon this world when he handed you and handed me the free gift of salvation, if you'll just believe. And if you refuse to believe that Jesus died on the cross and you think that you're okay, you're still living in your sin. But when the Lord Jesus has given that free gift out to every individual that's ever lived, and yet they spit in his face, they beat him, and they crucified him. The world as a whole hates God. They have no need for God. I was sitting in the doctor's office Friday, watching the television screen explain to me how that over the last 40 to 50 billion years we evolved. You wonder why my blood pressure's up? It went through how that this one and this one merges here and this one does this, and that's how it all came about. Well, where'd that first little amoeba come from? If you're going to believe it evolved, you tell me where it came from in the first place. And then why did it stop to where you and I can hear and speak and see and live? This world denies there is a God. And the only way they can live up to that denial is to believe in evolution. It has to come some way. And so there are great gaps between their thoughts and their understanding, but they go and they punch in these billions of years to make up the difference. And we know that this world is only 6,000 years old. It's approximately 6,000 years old. 4,000 years before Jesus was born, and we've lived 2,000 years after that. And we know that the six is a number of man. And so we get into this seventh year, this 7,000th year, that will be the millennial reign of Christ. And so we know that the time is short. We don't have to worry about global warming. We don't have to worry about that we're going to destroy the earth and the world and all these things in what we do. We need to trust in the Lord Jesus and walk with the Lord Jesus each and every day. With all the things that are going on, God has the ability and the strength to stop it. He sent four angels out. He said, all right, hold everything. I got something I want to do. That's what we're going to talk about today. Holds everything back. There is the joy and the opportunity of salvation during the tribulation period. All right, we've already talked about the day of grace, the gospel of grace. That is the time that we're living in now. There has never, ever been a greater time to live than during the day of grace or the gospel of grace. And that time period is from the day of Pentecost until Jesus comes and takes his church home. That's the window. So we're still living in the day of grace or the day of the gospel. But then when the tribulation begins and we have opened up these six seals, the seventh seal is the worst because it has many other things in it. It has seven trumpets. It has seven vials. It has three woes. All that is compacted into the seventh seal. So hang on to your hat when we get beyond this seventh chapter and get on to chapter 8. because literally all hell will break loose upon this earth when that takes place. And if you refuse to come by faith to the Lord Jesus Christ now, whether you believe you can be saved during that time or not, I don't know. But I sure wouldn't risk it, and nor would I want to live during that time. And no one has to if you'll just come by faith to the Lord Jesus Christ. There is going to be this preaching of the gospel of the kingdom, because they are going to come, these 144,000 that we listed here from the 4th verse to the 8th verse. They are coming to preach the kingdom is coming. Trust in Jesus today, because this is the end. So come and trust in the Lord Jesus. The call not only goes out to the Gentile or to the Jews, but also to the Gentiles. While the woes and the plagues of God's wrath and man's hatred goes on, this book of Revelation stops with this 7th chapter to show us a great and mighty mercy that God has. The four angels are told to hold on, stop what's going on. And then another angel, as we find in verse 2, we just read verse 1 again. After these things, I saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, nor on the sea, nor on the trees. Everything stopped as we know it. And then I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God. And he cried with a loud voice to the four angels and said to them that it was given to hurt the earth and the sea. They're the ones that's going to turn it loose, saying, hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God in their forehead. We're sealed. The day that we are saved, we are sealed by the Holy Spirit. It's going to be different during the time of the tribulation, because the Holy Spirit goes home with us. Now, he will come down and convict the hearts of those that want to listen, one that wants to respond. However, as we find it here, the sealing that God does is going to be on the forehead. These, you know, we always think of the mark of the beast, the 666 on the forehead or on the hand. But these 144,000, they are identified too. They are sealed too. And this mark is put upon their forehead that they are God's, and you can't touch them unless I let you touch them. They could bring them before the firing squad, but they could bring them before the guillotine, they could bring them for any kind of hurt. And unless God permits it, they cannot be touched, because they are sealed, the servants of our God, in their forehead. And so we see that. Again, that doesn't mean that there's not going to be some trials and some tribulation there. Job was born again. He was saved, and yet he faced trials and tribulations. The Israelites, when they were in Egypt, they came out. They have faced trials and tribulations as well. And so we have many examples concerning that. But we do know that when we come by faith to the Lord Jesus Christ, we are sealed and we are kept. And we know that according to Ephesians chapter 30, sealed unto the day of redemption. There's other scripture verses in John chapter 10 concerning our being kept. And it's so important that we know that. Let's just turn to John real quick here, because so many people question, you know, am I saved? Did I say the right words? You know, and God's the one that keeps us. You just need to believe. Come by faith to Jesus and believe. John chapter 10, verse 27 through 30. Beautiful verses of scripture. Gospel of John chapter 10. Verse 27, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my hand. I and my Father are one." What a promise. And yet multitudes believe you can lose your salvation. What a promise. What a beautiful, beautiful promise. Now, we come to the fourth verse there, and we have a list of the 12 tribes. Now, if you're familiar with the Old Testament, which I know many of you are, you'll notice some things are a little bit different. First thing is that Reuben's not the first one that's listed. Judah is the first one that's listed. A couple other things you'll find, and that is that we're missing a couple names. We're missing Dan, and we're missing Ephraim. We're missing those two tribes. You'll find as well that we have Joseph. So if you want to count, you're going to find 12. Now, when you count them in other areas of the Scripture, the Levites aren't counted. So they're left out. Joseph is not there because you have Ephraim and Manasseh. That gives the 12. Also, Dan is found in the other places. Now, here Dan is missing. And we find that Dan was the first tribe that went off into idolatry. It's believed that the Antichrist will come out of the tribe of Dan. The tribe of Dan and Ephraim is where Jeroboam built the two golden calves. Dan up north, Ephraim down south, both allowed them, after the kingdom was divided, and we have Judah to the south and the nation of Israel up north, 10 tribes up north, 2 tribes, Judah and Benjamin, stayed south in Jerusalem. And that was right after Solomon's death. As soon as, you know, we only have a kingdom, you don't realize this when we study the Scripture, that we just have Saul, David, and Solomon. And after Solomon, the kingdom's divided. So quickly there, you know, we only have 3 kings. One's dark, handsome, and loved. Then we have David. And then we have Solomon, but Solomon, he himself began to love the idol worship, and he brought the kingdom to a place at the end of his reign that they couldn't get along, and all of a sudden it became divided. And then Jeroboam, the first king of the northern kingdom, said, "You know what? I'm going to make it easy for you. I'm going to make it nice for you." It's kind of like the sign says, "Come as you are." But if you come as you are, you're going to leave as you were. And so we need to come and have our hearts prepared, and we need to have our hearts ready for God's blessing. And so, as the Jeroboam said, you know, I'm going to help you here. You can worship your God. I always thought that was so strange. But you see, the devil knows, when you stop doing what he says to do, there's not long you're not going to be walking with him. So it's kind of like the Mormon church says, you know, I'm going to send you a King James Bible and the other book, because the devil knows you're going to read that other book more than you're going to read that good old King James Bible, and you're going to go astray. So Jeroboam tells his people, "I'm going to help you so you don't have to travel all the way to Jerusalem. I'm going to put a place for you to worship up north and one down south. That way it'll be easy for you to get to. You can worship your God. Worship our God." But it was a golden calf. And God says, "We will meet in Jerusalem 3 times a year in Jerusalem." Jeroboam changed that. People thought, "Boy, this is nice." There was never a good king in the northern kingdom. And Dan and Ephraim were the two tribes that allowed that golden calf to be placed in their areas. So it is believed that that's the reason in the listing of these 12 tribes that Joseph has regained his name. Some believe that that is could be transposed to Ephraim. I don't believe so. I think it's Joseph because Joseph took his name back. If you'll find up above in verse 6, you'll find Manasseh. They're there. But you will not find Dan anywhere. So Dan and Ephraim are both missing. These 12 tribes are pulled out. Can you imagine being able for God to find 12,000 pure from Judah, pure from Reuben, and yet God knows exactly where they are. And he's going to pull them together, and he's going to seal them on their forehead. And some call them Apostle Paul's. One man in later years said there is going to be 144,000 Billy Sundays turned loose on this world. And he's the only one in this country that I ever knew that when Billy Sunday came to town to preach the word, banks closed, taverns closed. Nobody was there, so they just closed their doors and everybody went to hear Billy Sunday preach the gospel. Wouldn't it be wonderful if we could have such a revival today? Such a revival today. So we have now the preachers that are going out. We have asked in times past, how does the people get saved? Well, we have these 144,000 preachers going out. We also have the two witnesses going out. And then we have one other area of scripture here, because we also enjoy the calling out of the angels. And I need to find that verse of scripture because I think it's in chapter 14. I need to that is a beautiful verse. If I don't find it, we're going to have it next week. It's a call that the angels literally make. Here, 14 verses 6 and 7. I was right with the Revelation 14 verses 6 and 7. So not only do we have the 144,000, not only do we have the two witnesses that are out there preaching the gospel, but then I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth, and to every nation and kindred and tongue and people, saying with a loud voice, fear God, give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment is come. Worship him that made heaven and earth and the sea and the fountains of water. That's how the multitude is going to be saved. That is how they're going to be saved. Now, if we come back to chapter 7, and we come to this ninth verse, and it tells us, after this, after these preachers went out, there is, and behold, lo, a great multitude which no man could number of all nations. Now, there are so many different thoughts and folks out here. There's some folks said that there's never going to be a Gentile saved. The tribulation period, the only people that's going to be saved is the Israelites. Now, I'm not going to be there, but I know what the Word of God says. It says, which no man can number, that's how great the number is, of all nations, kindreds, people, and tongues. Now, who's left out there? God would have said, Jews, God would have said Israel. He would not have said of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues. It's something how sometimes you get your mind perverted a little bit that it just doesn't make the sense it should, because it's very clear that all are going to have the opportunity of being saved. And they stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands. Now, we talked about in Sunday school just a little bit, a preacher that I love to study. I've heard him in person down in Atlanta, Georgia. Two young men, he was so elderly, the two young men had to hold him up while he preached for about 15 minutes, and then they carried him back down off the platform, put him back in his wheelchair, and wheeled him back out. But that was John R. Rice. And boy, he was he held onto that pulpit where the young man was literally holding him up, because it was a Sword of the Lord conference, and he was the author of the Sword of the Lord. That's who started it, and it was tremendous to see him preach the Word of God. Now, John R. Rice believes that if you don't believe now, and you're sitting right here, and Jesus, that trump sounds right now. That trump sounds right now. And all of a sudden, you are the only one still sitting here. And those words come right into your mind. I know where they went. God has called them home, and I've missed it. John R. Rice believes that at that time you can call upon the Lord Jesus and be saved. I don't. I think for the call of the nation of Israel and all the world that hears the Word of God, that's who salvation is going to have the opportunity for. But if you've heard the gospel today, you will not be able to be saved during the tribulation. Now, if you disagree with that, it's your soul. You want to take a chance? You want to risk it? I don't know why anybody would want to go into the tribulation period and live that time and go through all these seals and all this heartache and starvation. Because if you refuse the mark of the beast, you cannot eat, you cannot work, you're going to have to hide yourself up in the mountains. The only way you can have any food is to scrounge around through the mountains. Everything, the animals are going to be dying because there's no food. And if you want to eat, you have to get the mark of the beast. You get the mark of the beast. That is the unpardonable sin. You can never be saved if you get the mark of the beast. So you refuse it, but you refuse Christ as well. All you're going to do is beg, borrow, and steal, trying to live, and then you're going to die. You're going to be dying a horrible death. If you trust in the Lord Jesus during that time, if John R. Rice is correct and you can be saved, you're going to be one of those martyred that's underneath the altar. Why not come to Jesus today? Know that He died on the cross for you. And when this trump is sound and we'll be taken out of here, and we're going to be in the presence of the Lord at the marriage supper of the Lamb that 7 years. What a glorious time. Why that we want to hold on to something that is going to bring us so much trouble and so much heartache. Sometimes we're too silent. What took place when this multitude was found? Look at verse 10. They cried out with a loud voice, saying, "Salvation to our God which sitteth upon the throne and to the Lamb." They're going to face being murdered, being martyred in some terrible way. But right now, they know that they're saved from eternal hell. All the angels stood round about the throne and about the elders of the four and the four beasts and fell before the throne on their face and worshiped God, saying, Amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. You know, back in David's day, they had some instruments that they played. I don't believe there's going to be one single instrument in heaven. I think our voices are going to be perfect and we're going to raise our voices unto the Lord and it's going to be a constant praise. And I think we should start it now. You know, every once in a while you'll hear an amen. Praise God. You think you're going to like that when you get to heaven? That's the way it's going to be. Said, oh, I can't stand it. I don't want to hear it anymore. You're not going to want to do that. But I think it's going to be one time that we need to do a little more of it down here. I got a yep and an amen. Verse 13, one of the elders answered, saying unto me, what are these that are arrayed in the white robes, and whence came they? And I said to him, Sir, thou knowest. And he said to me, These are they which came out of the great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. We were just talking about that in the Sunday school class with the Day of Atonement. Jesus took his blood and took it right to the mercy seat, right to the throne of God, and handed it to his Father and says, Here, I have finished the work that you've sent me to do. The high priest did the same thing. He would take the blood of the goat, and he would go in, and he would present that blood seven times on the mercy seat, come back out, lay his hands upon the live goat, confess the sins of the nation of Israel. The goat was led up into the mountains, and that high priest could say, I have finished the work. The problem is that he had to do it again the next year, and the next year, and the next year, because it was the blood of the goats and calves, not the blood of Jesus. And Jesus told us in Hebrews chapter 9 that we read this morning that I did went in once. And if you believe you can lose your salvation, then that means that Jesus would have to die again and again and again on the cross. He took all your sins away once and presented that precious blood unto the Lord Jesus. And this 14th verse made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore are they before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. And as I stated earlier, if you refuse the mark of the beast, you're not going to be able to eat. You're not going to be able to drink. You're not going to be able to do anything. The sun is just going to bake your head. It's going to be a most miserable time. But what's he say in verse 16? Ye shall hunger no more, thirst no more, neither the sunlight on them, nor any heat. And look at who is going to feed them. For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them, and shall lead them into living fountains of water, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. These folks that decide to be saved during the tribulation period, they are going to be a most horrible, horrible time. You can be saved today. You need to hear the word of God today. Trust in him today. They're rejoicing. They're praising the Lord's name. There'll be no more hunger, nothing like they had. Jesus will feed them. What a wonderful day. as I said earlier, God stopped what was going on, the wrath that was coming forwards. He said, I'm going to stop. And he pours out this tremendous opportunity of salvation. Will you be saved? No more tears. We understand, the world doesn't. Why of all the crime and all the wickedness that's going on? It's because we have left the cross of Calvary. We have denied the blood of Jesus. And we've refused to believe the Word of God. And as long as that exists, we are going to be facing a more horrible world each and every day. Something that's going to start, and I'm just going to read the first verse and then we'll close. And when he had opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven for the space of a half an hour. Remember these seals, they were sealed, and each time you'd pull one seal off, and we got all the way to the fifth seal, and the fifth seal was the martyrs underneath the altar. Then we got to the sixth seal, and here come the earthquake, and they pleaded the rocks would fall on them. They didn't pray to God for salvation. They prayed that the rocks, they were praying to the earth, to the rocks would fall on them and kill them, not realizing the only thing that's going to put them in is in hell, which is going to be worse than what they got. But you see, man is so perverted in their thinking, they don't realize that they need the Lord Jesus as their Savior. And so then God stops everything. He said, I want to show you something. And he gives us this wonderful event of this 144,000 being sealed and going out sharing the gospel with this rest of the world. Knowing that if you trust in Jesus, it's almost certain death. Now that's where that scripture comes up, that if God hadn't shortened it, there'd be none survived. And a lot of people think that that means that you're going to lose your salvation if you don't stay faithful. It's not that at all. It's the physical side of it. There'd be no saved people going to the millennial reign of Christ if God hadn't brought it to a short time. It does. It makes all kinds of sense. Word of God's simple. It's easy to understand. But this seventh seal, when it was opened, it was so worse, much worse than any other thing anybody'd ever seen, that there was silence in heaven for a half hour. It is so terrible and so horrible. Seven trumpets, seven vials, three woes to come. Stopped everything for a half hour. You know how when you see something, you gasp for breath? This gasp lasted for a half hour. So took them. We'll start with chapter 8 next week. Father, just wake us up. Every one of us got so many folks to talk to. Just the people. We don't have to go down and hit the streets. We can do that, but we don't have to. We got enough people around us that we need to witness to. We need to share the gospel with them. We need to plead with God that, God, give us the words and tell me what to say and who to speak to. And Father, please, bring the harvest. Widen the harvest. Harvesters are few. We need to be out harvesting. We need to be out there working, sharing that precious gospel. Those that are saved, that multitude, it says, will be serving God day and night. The scripture tells us that we're his friend. We're his guest. We are not his servants. Another blessing that, Father, you've given us during this church age, the day of grace. Please just touch our hearts, Father. Don't let anyone leave here without knowing you as their Lord and Savior. You died on the cross for them, took their sin away. Father, please, I pray that they open their hearts and allow your faith to come in and save them. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.